This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Reggie Jackson goes for 20 again, ninth time after doing that only seven times in the regular season.
Cross-court Jackson, left wing three on the way. It's good. Splash.
They wrote the perfect script in the first quarter and maintained that the whole way through.
I think this team is built for it. We've shown time and time again that we can overcome adversity.
Contributions up and down, the toughness, the grit, the fight, everything was there from the Clippers. What a win.
Well, you just can't kill them. You just can't kill him.
Play off P.
And it is the most maddening thing in the world to watch. Paul George is the most maddening player in the game to watch.
That's because you want to bury him all the time. And he keeps coming up and rising up because Paul Bearer is somewhere in the Raptors saying, rise, my child, rise, rise. And Bomber's over there. Is he Paul Bearer? It seems like they have a connection. You're not the best player, and you got the
Steve
owner.
Steve Ballmer is a psychotic Paul Bearer. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, and this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Bart, it's simple for me, okay? I give them all the credit in the world. Phenomenal job winning the game. Unreal. And that's an impossible spot to go win that game in. I cannot figure out Paul George to save my life. He is the most maddening star player in the NBA, how I can watch a guy who is lackluster at best in that first half last night. Lackluster, lax, not taking care of the basketball nearly as much. And then all of a sudden in the second half of the game, he decides to go for 31. Please explain Paul George to me because I cannot figure him out.
But when you think about great players, what do? They fill out the game, right? And they try and get their other guys going early, and they try and get them to get that confidence, and then they take over when they see that the game is getting out of control, out of hand. Listen, this guy is like weird, right? Because he never seems bothered, right? And he's a guy that is smooth in his delivery, so it's not these rash, explosive type of moves. Everything he does looks effortlessly. And people always confuse that. Remember how we used to always talk about Cano? Like it always looks like he's in chill mode, but maybe he's not.
Paul George was in that. He was in half speed in the first half at times.
Yeah, but figuring things out, man, and getting into a rhythm. You know what I mean? Trying to figure out how the defense is playing, what the adjustments are. I think really what we really have to do is tip our hats off to Ty Lue. And all the buttons that he's pushing, it's been the correct ones, right? And he's been able to get five, figure out lineups. I mean, who thought Boogie, after struggling a couple of times, would be able to give you 15, right? Who knew that Reggie Jackson would start looking like the Reggie Jackson of OKC and establish his rhythm? Because everybody's trying to figure out their new roles, right? Without Kawhi, you know, people have new roles and new expectations, so they have to change their focus. And listen, if they lose this series, ultimately it's going to come back to playoff P, not hitting those two free throws, because that's the difference right now in the series. If he hits those two and Aiden doesn't come up with a spectacular play, right now we would be talking about the Clippers closing out the Suns. Now, I'll tell you what, man. You know, like, I don't know, you ever seen Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
Remember when Chris comes around early on when they all young, he said, y'all want to see a dead body?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the dead body yesterday was Chris Paul falling down when playoff gave him that shoulder to let him know that he was a little bitty boy.
And Chris Paul played terribly last night.
Yeah, but let him know. And this is the second time in the series that Chris Paul has played
this
terrible.
This is true. I can't deny that.
And Devin Booker is struggling. Like, they figure ways how to get up in his chest, contest him. And, like, they're playing great defense on him. And, listen, right now, I don't know, like, if they go back to L.A. Remember, like, we had Big Perk on the air yesterday, right? What was he saying? There's no way. The Suns is the best place to go, and that's the hardest place to win. I told you, man, this is a championship pedigree team of guys with a lot of pride. It is hard to close a team out in a closeout.
Yes, it is very hard to close a team out. And to your point about Ty Lue, he deserves an awful lot of credit. Paul George was one of the first to line up to give him credit.
I mean, he allows us to come out here and just play freely. There's no pressure. He doesn't put the extra pressure. We know what we're facing and what we're up against. And that's all that needs to be said. That's how T. Lue is, as cool as they come. And, you know, I've been saying, you know, we take after his identity. We come out, we stay poised, and we just get the job done.
Yeah, listen.
Poised?
We could talk about the first half. And you're saying you're letting the game come to him and flow and all that stuff. That's not what I saw. I saw a guy that was seemingly at times not playing with an urgency, that he just seemed to flip the switch. I know the difference. I've seen the difference of guys who were trying to let the game just unfold and see how it's going to play out. That didn't look to me like him, and that's the guy I've seen before, which is why for me, he is just so frustrating to watch as a star in the league.
But if you look at Paul George's playoff minutes, and I have to credit my sources when I was watching, I believe, First Take today, and he's leading all players in the playoffs in, like, points scored, rebounds, like, third in assists, and minutes, mm-hmm. right? So, like, when you look at the whole
body. But we know that some of those numbers have been a little on the empty side in some of these games.
Yeah, but if you look at the body of work, especially since Kawhi's been gone, like his performance last night, right? We should put on the same pedestal that we put Kevin Durant's 49. Because it's a closeout against an opponent that's trying to get you out in a tough environment. His team, at the beginning, they came out big. And then before you looked up, and Phoenix had really evaporated that lead, and he just stayed poised, even in the third and going into the fourth when he was on the bench, coming in and being able to just kind of extend that lead again and give them a sense of comfort, right? Like, so if this would have been KD yesterday, because of the perception, we'd have been coming in here and we would have been talking about one of the most amazing performances that we've seen in a closeout game.
Absolutely.
Which is what Playoff P did.
But the perception was born out of a reality with him. That's the problem.
I get it. But, like, in sports, I remember Wale Gounye told me this. In sports, it's the only place that a leopard can change their spots. Right? So you don't have to stay what you've been. Remember, LeBron was the guy that passed to Danielle Marshall, right? Mm-hmm. He was a guy that was afraid of the big shot. That's not the narrative on LeBron anymore.
No, of course not.
So Playoff P, you're always being able to write multiple new chapters in your career.
You are the same guy that was calling him Pandemic P for months.
No, I am calling him Pandemic P, but I told you once Kawhi left, right? What Reggie Jackson is back and he's playing, what did they say?
Reggie Jackson's been amazing.
And listen, he's been, you talk about super aggressive. That's because now he gets to show people what he can do, right? It's like, right? And I say this all the time because, like, this is the only example I really got. Like, Teddy P was part of the Melvin and the Blue Notes, right? And he wasn't the lead singer. Everybody else knew what he was, but everybody else knew everybody else. When he left, they're like, damn, we didn't know he was this talented. And we didn't know that he went from singing more about love ballads and turning the lights off and all that stuff. People forgot what Reggie Jackson was because all those possessions that he's been able to get his shot off, those usually went to Kawhi. Right? Yep. Because those two stars had to share. And it's hard to find a rhythm. This dude is a scoring machine.
How about this little stat? Just in the way that he's employed Jackson and the way that they have gone about this, to Lou for 1 second, Ty Lue is 10-2 in playoff elimination games in his career as a coach. 10-2. I mean, that's amazing. And to your point about Durant, think about this for a second. If you had Kawhi right now and you had George playing at this level right now, that team could legit challenge the Nets. Would be absolutely give them everything they could handle if they were complete, if both sides were completely healthy.
Because you can put a big body and a great wing defender in either Pandinger P. You think, we always talk about James Harden, how he's a man, how he can play through defense, and how Giannis felt how strong he was. Well, Kawhi is a Terminator, right? We know that he's a cyborg. And, Paul George is a big, physical, strong guy as well. People forget how big and how tall Paul George I know it looks effortlessly. He's 6'9".
Yeah.
A legit 6'9 out there handling the ball like a point guard.
Yep.
So, like, people forget that this ain't like some 6'6 dude. This dude is every bit of 6'9".
I want to hear more from Paul George just on this situation of stepping up in game 5.
I haven't shot the ball well this whole series. At some point I had to have a breakthrough. I was getting great looks. I love the shots I was getting. I think just scheduling and, every other night was playing a role on it. Just was missing, coming up short, tired on shots. But, I got a good night's rest. And my teammates been carrying me. Honestly, they've been carrying me. Tonight I had to come through.
I mean, come on.
Now he just breaks all the goodwill he has.
This is the stuff that I can't listen to. I can't listen to that. The scheduling and everybody's tired.
Yes.
Everybody's tired.
It's a marathon.
Yes.
We understand that. We know that. Right? That's not an excuse, especially in the early series when you had Kawhi. He was the one that was doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
So now you just got to do a little heavy lifting. So, like, come on, man. Like, see, he just erases that because nobody wants to hear excuses from stars. Let us make the excuse for
them. Okay. Are the Clippers winning this series now to you?
I think it goes 7.
I'm still taking the Suns, and I still think they're going to find a way in 6. I'm having trouble, as good as they have been at staying alive in these situations, yeah. I'm having trouble still picking the Clippers to win one of these two games.
Of course, because you know all they have to do is win one. And listen, this is why Chris Paul didn't want to talk about this. It's crazy, mm-hmm. right? Because I think...
Does this enter his head?
Of course. It's happened to him twice.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, like... It wouldn't be the worst thing, like if and it's tough to say this. It wouldn't be a bad idea if Chris Paul hammy hurt or something like that, and they were able to put some youth and enthusiasm.
You want campaign out there running up and down the floor?
Right.
That's what you want.
Crazy. I want the extra effort plays. Right. Like he and Payne is a lot taller than Chris Paul. People forget how small Chris Paul. I bowled against Chris Paul. Right. Chris Paul might be 5'11".
Okay.
He might be 5'11".
Did you beat him?
Come on, man. Bart Scott. What are you talking about? Sheik. That's why he never invited me to any of his tournaments. He used to come to Ray Lewis tournament. I come in there, no warm-up game, bowl, just take the trophy, give me my damn trophy and leave. And then like he had his own and he invited Lamar Woodley.
Well, because he wants to win. You gotta win your own
right,
tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But guess what? He can't control the win and the lose. He can't control whose his opponent is on the other side with the Clippers.
It's been Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's shift over to some baseball. There has not been a more disappointing team or situation or organization in all of baseball this year than the Yankees, who just continue to lose games and continue to lose ground in the American League East. They're 7.5 games out. Last night, Shohei Ohtani comes up and hits an absolute bomb in the first inning, and you blink, and they're in a hole. Now, they came back, but they still couldn't find a way to win the game.
Did Michael Kay say, see ya? See ya. Oh, wrong team. Wrong team.
I'm trying to remember if he only does that for the Yankees. No, he does it for both.
Wrong team. See ya.
No, I think he does it for both teams.
Hey, listen.
He does.
You know what?
You put it this way. You knew it was gone pretty quick.
Listen, bro. Like, it's funny because when he go and put that type of performance on and your pitching is struggling, he's pitching well too, you just turn around and look at Stanton.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that's why Giancarlo Stanton is here. And it's not, I wouldn't even look at Stanton, I'd look at Brian Cashman, because when Ohtani made it clear that he didn't want to play in New York, that he wanted to be on the West Coast, just for memory's sake, for those who don't remember, that's when the Yankees turned around and went after Stanton to try to make up for the fact that they weren't going to get him.
I would have asked him, I would have told him to come over here and we'll move his family or whatever he wanted. This guy finally is living up to the expectations.
Yeah.
Remember, this guy is the closest thing we've seen to Babe Ruth. And I know Jacob DeGrom is having a tremendous season. But, man, is anybody having a better season to show? 29 home. I thought the ball was supposed to be dead. I thought the pitcher was supposed to have the advantage. So he over there kicking your butt with the Spider Tacky 2000. Mm-hmm. Then he turn around and knock it out on the other side. Nine home runs this month. What, last nine games? Nine homers this month alone? Or last month?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Let's listen to a montage of cliches from Aaron Boone, shall we? Here's what the Yankees manager had to say. Because I've got three different sound bites, and my guess is they're going to be all cliches that you've heard 100 times.
We got to go do it. I mean, I can.
One.
We can throw out all the sayings and talk
two.
Is cheap, Brian. We got to go do it. And as disappointing and as frustrating as we are to not grab this first one, because especially coming off the weekend we had, we got to go play tomorrow and try and dig ourselves out of this.
All right, that's
you know,
one.
We need to put things together. You know, at times this year, it's been the pitching that's kind of carried us through our wins. At times, you know, the offense has got it rolling a little bit and we've struggled a little bit on the bump. You know, I think a lot of teams that have those kind of up and down scenarios, that's kind of the case. You know, it's, you know, one week you're swinging the bats at a high level, but you know, the pitching struggling and vice versa. And we got to find a way to put it all together. And we got to do it with the people in that room. The compete and the intent and the focus of the guys today was excellent. I'll tell you that. So there's frustration when you don't go out and get a W, especially when you're getting punched in the mouth a little bit. And we all recognize where we are and how challenging this has all been. But as far as the guys and their focus and intent and compete today, no issue.
Yeah, I'm going to say there were probably about six cliches in there. I would have set the over-under at about 9. But look, you can throw out whatever you want. What you hear with Aaron Boone, and it's not his fault right now that this is what you're going to hear from him, they don't have any answers for what's going on. They have absolutely no answers as to why this team doesn't hit in the clutch, why their pitching has fallen off outside of Corey Kluber getting hurt, and why they just haven't been able to be more consistent. And that's what is truly maddening about watching them play. This is the same roster virtually that led Major League Baseball in runs scored a couple of years ago in 2019. And Bart, 2/3 of their home runs this season are solo shots. 2/3.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Parrot when they had the Parrot Man?
Didi?
Who? No, they had the Parrot Man.
What did the Parrot Man? I don't remember the Parrot. Wait a second. We're playing the pyramid here. Now I got to try to figure out what this. Who's the Parrot Man? Come on.
The Parrot Man was the guy that they got and blocked Tampa Bay, the Rays, from getting him. He's the Parrot Man. He goes around the bears and he yells the parrot.
I don't remember the Parrot Man. I can't think of this. It's like playing a game of pyramid. I don't remember who the Parrot Man
is. His nickname is the Parrot. All he did was hit home runs. And he came in, he lived up to the expectations.
I can't remember.
Okay, well, we'll allow you to phone a friend during the first break. You can figure out who to pair
that much. The point is this. Parrot Man, now I got to go look this up during the break. I do. But having said that, when you have a team that is this level of talented, and you have the expectations that are on them, then you have to deliver. And it's 100 games that they're expected to win this year. And right now they're on a pace to win 80.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing, right? If this thing goes bad, they have to blow this thing up because it doesn't get better. Like, and really, you talk about the considerations of contracts that they have. Like, the babies aren't babies anymore. They're not teenagers anymore. They're young adults. And they're starting to get to the middle part of their season of their career, where these guys are going to be going down, man. So it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be some tough decision that has to be made. They have to ask themselves, are they going to be all in? Are they going to double down? Like, because they've been so arrogant, right? They've been so arrogant when you talk about Sanchez, right? He continues to tell us what the analytics mean and what he is and, you know, how great of an offensive catcher he is and the defense, and he has a strong arm. They continue to tell us, whether it's Cashman, whether it's Boone, for years. You know, and sometimes he gets on these hot streaks and they double down. They poke their chest out like a peacock. But man, they had opportunities to upgrade at that position.
I don't think there has been a more disappointing player than Gleyber Torres. I mean, this is a guy that in 2019 hit 38 home runs and since has six.
Yeah.
Six. He's been absolutely awful. At least we've seen Sanchez start to come around a little bit. Gleyber Torres, I have no explanation for, because when you looked at players that you wanted to be the centerpieces of your organization long term, at the time I would have ranked him ahead of Judge. And I don't know how you look at Torres now and feel that confident. And a lot of it seems to stem from him last year coming in and being fat after the layoff. And since then, he just hasn't been anywhere near the same player.
They have to figure something out, because we know the talent is there. And, you know, we were touting him as the next big star, right? You talk about the 38 homers. I mean, like 20 of them came from playing against the Orioles. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. We had to take that with a grain of salt. But because he's able to play shortstop, he's able to play second. You know, he's great. He's good defensively. He could get better. Like, I think he's a guy that you stay around, you keep around regardless. But they have to – this is the thing, right? I've watched this team win 103 games the last two seasons. I don't have any answers of why they are struggling so bad, why they aren't a better team. I don't understand it.
I don't understand
it
either.
You talk about playing to the back of your baseball card We expect them to play to the back of their baseball card, but they haven't did that. And they, like, collectively decide to play bad at the same time.
So what's the solution? Is it firing the manager? Is it moving on from the GM? 888-729-3776. What is your solution for the Yankees right now and what they're dealing with? 888-SAY-ESPN. The answer is Edwin Encarnacion. That is the Parrot Man.
Thank you.
Buster Olney checking in with that.
Appreciate it, Buster. Thank you, Buster. Phone a friend.
But this is truly like you understand, this is like playing the pyramid for me sometimes when you're trying to throw things out there and then all of a sudden, all right, what can I come up with here? Who's he talking about? Parrot Man?
If I said Pandemic P, you know what it is, so why don't you know Parrot Man? What? Everybody had a parrot.
Parrot Man's like 2 years ago.
They run around with the parrot. But that was one of the windows where, you know, they feel like they probably, you know, should have won. Didn't they lose to Houston that year?
Yep.
Right, so that was one of the years where they felt like they probably were cheated, and that was one of the times where they would have had an opportunity to win the championship.
888-SAY-ESPN, load up the phone lines now. 888-729-3776.
Thank you, Buster.
Barton Hahn is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Up next, should the Yankees actually turn around and go the other way? Now I have to get you a parrot so you're holding it on your shoulder.
No, that was his celebration when he went around the bases.
No, I remember that.
Oh, now you remember. Now you remember every damn.
Well, maybe if
detail.
You had put on a puppet show and holding up your arm, I would have remembered that part. The Parrot Man. All I'm thinking about is who's playing for the Pirates this year. But here's the other question. Should they turn around, hit the reset button, and trade their best player to handle their roster problems?
Just talking about Willis.
We'll get to that next. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It appears to be in the Bronx these days. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott.
Kicked.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart, Progressive Insurance has cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more. They're all available to be covered at progressive.com. Let's hit the calls in just a second, but I have been really, frankly, I've been on this for a while. This idea that when, as I said yesterday, you keep expecting that different result from running the same things out there and you don't change anything, maybe it turns out that you're just not all that good and you're just not meant to be. And when you look at where the Yankees organization is, which is close to the bottom third in baseball in terms of prospects that are available, they haven't developed pitchers coming to the big leagues. They haven't developed a ton of great players other than Aaron Judge, who was a first-round pick a few years ago. Bart, they're going to need to press the reset button. They're 7.5 out now. Just travel with me forward in time, if you will. Okay. A few weeks.
Let's strap in.
Yeah. Right after the All-Star break, they play 8 of the first 10 against the Red Sox. 8 of the first 10 against the Red Sox after the All-Star break. That takes you to about July 25th, with the deadline being the 31st. Your whole decision will be made in that time, and you could be sitting at 12, 13 games out and really in no man's land with your team.
Yeah.
That's why you got to look hard at trading Judge and trading Sanchez. Guys who, if Sanchez is still going well, they have a year and a half left. and they're going to have an awful lot of value.
Yeah. I mean, and somebody, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And, you know, for everybody out there, like, how dare you, right? Judge is untradeable. Dude's going to be 30 years old. He hasn't been healthy, and he's going to want more than what Machado got at $300 million. He's going to want more than what Stanton has. So you're talking about giving a guy that's 30 years old a long-term deal where maybe he wants an annual value of $35 to $40 million, even if you don't give him the length. Even if he says, okay, I'll do seven, he's going to be 37 years old after going through the A-Rod contract that was horrible and miserable at the end of it. You're going to deal with another guy that's probably going to end up being a DH because his body's not going to be able to hold up.
Yep.
I can't do that. We just watched Mookie Betts go out to L.A., and he's a guy that you would think gang would age well because he's little, right? He's a guy that's fast, twitchy, and he's a guy that's relatively healthy.
Meanwhile, how are the Red Sox doing? They have been able to turn the corner after they were able to make a trade like that, get rid of David Price and all the money that he was making with it, and hit the reset button.
Who would you package with Judge to say, okay, add on? All right, we're going to give you Judge. He's going to help you maybe win a title.
Well, the only guy I'd want to do that with is Stanton, and that didn't happen. I would want back all the assets that would come. I need those top-level, major league-ready type players, and I do think you'd get a couple of them.
But, okay, who's a team that's a player or two away from being going from good to a great team, right? Because we talk about these acquisitions. We talk about Verlander going to Houston from the Tigers at the trade deadline, some of those, you know, important moves that have taken place, you know, at the trade deadline. What's a team that's trying to go from good to great? You know, because we know you're trying to compete with the Dodgers, mm-hmm. right? What's a team that's trying to go from good to great and has the assets to be able to give like a haul? Because, you know, remember who came back in the haul before? Remember how they got Gleyber Torres and all that stuff and, you know, being able to trade Chapman and come get him right back only to get Gleyber Torres? They've done this before in recent history.
There are two guys. There are two places, San Diego and San Francisco. They both need a big-time outfield bat. They both have very deep organizations and big-time prospects. Those are two places. There are three teams in the National League West that are competing for that division title, and only two of them are going to make the playoffs. Not all three. Maybe a third will as the second wild card, but I don't think it's likely. So there will be places for him to go. Let's hit it at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's begin with Alex in Staten Island up first with Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio. Alan, what's up? Alex.
That would be you, Alex.
Good talk, Alex. Rich and Queen.
Yeah,
oh, Alex. There he is. Alex, what do you got? Go.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Sorry about that.
Yep.
I just want to say, you know, watching the Yankees this year, it's just super frustrating. I feel like, you know, through their struggles and stuff, there's been no change in approach, nothing at all. You know, these guys come up, they come up to the plate every at-bat with the same approach no matter what, and nothing's working this year. And I feel like that falls on the coaching. And I like Aaron Boone. He's a good guy. But I feel like that's just not what this team needs. You know, they had Girardi and everything. I feel like everything went really well with Girardi, and he got let go because he wasn't their friend.
Well,
you know,
no,
I mean?
It wasn't even
and
that.
Like
and thanks for the call. He got let go, Alex, because he was pushing back.
Yeah.
And they wanted somebody who was just going to do whatever they wanted.
And that's why it's hard to place this all on Aaron Boone, because we know he doesn't make all the decisions. We know the analytic department decides the lineups, who's starting, all this type of stuff. He's just a guy that's supposed to communicate everything with the media and be able to, you know, smooth everything over.
And take the bullets.
Exactly.
Take the bullets. Rich in Queens is next on Bart and Hahn. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm a longtime Yankee fan. Suffering here like everybody else, and the things that I think are most frustrating for a Yankee fan right now, some of the last callers, that my big problem is, well, we built a right-handed ball club in a lefty hitting park. That's number one, so that Cashman is accountable for, but with a $200 million payroll, we should be able to get more out of this team. And that's why with Boone, similar to you guys, I can't stand these press conferences with the coach's award attitude, all this positive stuff. To me, and I love Girardi, it's about intensity. It's about you play how you practice.
But there's a difference here, Rich. There is a big difference between Joe Girardi ripping a guy publicly and then having to go back into the clubhouse and expect to have the clubhouse backing him up, which is not going to happen in today's day and age. It's one thing if you're calling a guy into the office to have a discussion, right? And ripping them there.
Right.
It's a whole other thing if you do it publicly. And if those players don't think you have their back publicly, you're done.
Yeah.
You are done. You are done.
And, you know, players now don't have the same mentality. So you guys are thinking about Girardi. That was, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Look how the athlete is changing by the minute.
3.5 years ago. I mean, it's just it changes every day. And you are not going to get anywhere when you are criticizing athletes right now, at least in baseball. That's certainly the way it is. Paul's in Bristol. He's up next on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Bart, what's up? Paul, what's up? Hello.
Hey, I miss you guys from the fan, but here's my question. We wouldn't be discussing this if George was still alive, because he would have no nonsense with this. Boom would have been fired after the sweep at Yankee Stadium by the Red Sox. And he wouldn't be tolerating half the crap going on out there.
Paul, I love you. And I say this with respect. George is dead. George is gone. He's been gone for a while. This is not George's Yankee team. This is his son's team. And if you want to sit there and scream and yell about George not being here and nobody's accountable, then you are living in the past, man. You are living in the past. You can't get wrapped up. It is a different time.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, if I'm an owner of a team and the last 2 years I've gone over the luxury tax and paid that tax, and I'm watching a team that has 35% of my payroll beat me consistently, and you are a GM and want to come to me and say, you know what, we can fix this. Give me 40 more million and go over the tax again, so you have to pay a total of 60 more million. You know what I'm going to tell you? Go to you know where. I'm not giving you another dime.
You got to take
not another dime.
I'm trying to steal everybody from the Rays I get, man. Like, what is the Da Vinci Code over there, man? How they Snell, you want to go? You're too expensive. See you later. Morton.
It is some kind of secret sauce.
They need
man.
To do a 30 for 30, man. I know they did Moneyball. They need to do a 30 for 30 on Tampa Bay and how they're able to be able to consistently be good with the lowest roster. You know, payroll in baseball, man. It is amazing.
It is. And I went and looked yesterday just to reaffirm for myself. Yankee fans who are screaming and yelling about all righties, no lefties, and they're being told by management, well, you know, that doesn't matter as much. What does Tampa Bay have? Righty, lefty, switch hitter, righty, left. I mean, come on!
They got a switch hitter. Don't disrespect Aaron Hicks like that.
Yeah, except that he's gone for the next 7 years. At least it feels that way. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Allen. When I hear George, that's when you lose me. That's when you lose me.
When I hear George, I always think of Seinfeld, man. I think it's about George Costanza, man.
I'd trade for a bucket of chicken right now. You know, the most talked about ankle in Atlanta right now, since the days of Michael Vick. That is what is up next with Trae Young and his status for Game 4. Bart and Hahn is coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Young tried to fire a pass inadvertently. It's stolen. Young goes down. Trae Young is still down on the other end of the floor with 29 seconds to go in the third.
Did he roll an ankle?
It's hurting. It's frustrating. Came back in. It was just kind of sore, and I
maybe Matt couldn't really go as fast as I wanted to, and then when I did, it hurt.
It's really going to allow them to press up on him, get some length on him, and really make it difficult for a guy like that to be efficient.
Pretty simple. If Trae Young's not near 100%, the Hawks are dead. They are in big-time trouble.
Yeah, it's tough, man, because, you know, they still game one. You think they would at least be able to use the crowd in Atlanta to be able to win. They were right there. Then Trae Young twists his ankle. And it's weird because we've seen guys like LeBron twist their ankles way worse than that and be way more effective than that. And the fact that he's so transparent. Let me tell you something, right? As somebody who spatted for people out there don't know what spat is, spatting is what athletes or football players do to the outside of their cleats to make their foot and their ankle one piece, right? A lot of people don't like to spat. A lot of these shoe companies don't like you to spat because it's basically saying that their product is inferior. So most people, you know, spat on the inside. But what happens is when you do that, the strength in your ankles are not there because the product or the ankle brace are doing the work for you. So you don't get, you know, strong. So you end up getting weak ankles because what Trae Young did was not an egregious twist of the ankle. It was very, very subtle. It wasn't even a big twist.
And they're calling it a bone bruise.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is basically you're talking about, okay, it twisted, the bones clashed together, created swelling. We've seen guys like jump up and down and twist their ankles and come back, retie their shoe. We've seen Anthony Davis do it in the playoffs. I was surprised that he came back and he was that unaffected, especially when it's early. You would think, okay, maybe the ankle would bother you the second game. You still have an adrenaline. You still have all kinds of stuff running through you before the swelling really takes hold to be able to be effective. And I don't want to call Trae Young soft, but I think, you know, when you look at his ankle braces look like air casts, it's an indication that he's had ankle problems in the past.
Here's Malika Andrews from ESPN with the latest on Trae Young.
They're optimistic that he is going to be available to play in this pivotal game four. You mentioned the MRI revealed a bone bruise. Well, the thing about that, I've been told, is that means that this is a matter, because there was no structural damage, it's a matter of pain tolerance and treatment. So Trae Young, I've been told, has been getting a lot of different medical advice today, been seeking out that treatment. He said after game three, he wants to be available. He's going to do everything in his power to be available.
And there you go. I mean, look, if it's a matter of pain tolerance, you have to figure it out. You have to figure out a way to get through it.
Listen, yesterday, Dominic Foxworth and Kendrick Perkins was having an argument saying that a football player can't be the GOAT, right? Because they don't play defense or they only play on one side. I want to address that because, man, if some of these guys in basketball, if football players miss games because of that, they would be laughed out of the locker room, out of the league. Weak sauce out there like Chico DeBarge and El DeBarge, man. He better come out back like Eddie Kane, man. He acting real soft right now.
Look, it is the only way that they are going to win this series if he's anywhere near 100%. And the Eastern Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tonight, Game 4, Hawks-Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. There's something broken in the Bronx. Is it fixable or is it a gut job? We ask our expert next.